Hey, this is JP with REITips.com. Welcome to Real Estate Investing Undressed. Today I have Renee Riker. Is it Riker, like number one on Enterprise? Okay. Big Star Trek fan here. Thank you for spending a couple of minutes here with me on the phone. Renee is a student and has been for about the last year of Jack Bosch and his land flipping system. Now, as I said, this is going out to my subscribers at REITips.com. You guys may recall, I interviewed Jack about a year ago. That interview is still available on the blog here. And I just kind of asked him about his training material, what sets it apart, what makes it unique. This time, he's releasing a much more robust version of it, and apparently, last time it just involved the acquisition. This time, he's got the full package, the acquisition, the liquidation, and everything combined. Renee, what I'd like to do, I emailed Jack and said, look, to help my readers out, in advance of you releasing this, for anyone who's looking at it and considering investing their hard-earned education dollars in it, could I interview just one of your average Joe or average Jane students, somebody who has been utilizing these methods and has employed them successfully, and just kind of get the real deal from a non-marketing standpoint. So he emailed me Renee's contact information. Renee, I believe he said his exact words were, she's one of my students and just did a cool deal. So I'm going to ask you about that, but first, could you just kind of give me like the Reader's Digest version of your background? I believe you're a landlord turned land flipper, right? What's the story there in a nutshell?
Yep. I've been a landlord for the last 5 years in homes outside of my state because it was all about the cash flow for me. So initially that was great, except for now anybody that's a landlord knows all the tenant issues. So I was really excited to find this land flipping business a year ago.
How long have you been a landlord, you said? For
5 or 6 years.
Yeah, long enough to feel the way I feel about it.
Yes.
Lifelong landlords, God love them. I don't ever want to be one of them. I'm a landlord now, and I have been for a long time. And the day I sell my last rental property is the day I'm going to throw myself a big party. So.
Yes, I'm phasing out of it.
So, okay, landlord, you discovered, I guess, Jack's particular model for flipping land. Describe the model for me as you have employed it in your business. What do you do? Just kind of peel the onion back a little.
Okay. As I said, I was looking for something new. So I was looking just preliminarily at doing tax lien and deed investing about a year ago, and that indirectly led me to Jack. What I did, I basically bought the system a year ago, and I followed it step by step. And he really does provide, you know, from soup to nuts, the whole shebang. So it just starts with mailing letters. Well, actually, it starts with getting a list. You get a list, you mail a very simple letter, you set up a, you know, 800 phone number for people to call you back, or a website. I did both. And you kind of freak out a little bit when your phone actually rings because you're surprised that it actually works.
That's the truth.
They do call
I remember
you.
That.
So then they call you, and you've got like a little call questionnaire where you kind of screen and ask them about their property. And they tell you that, and then you thank them, and you say, we'll be back in touch with you. Then you do a little bit of due diligence, and not a lot preliminarily. You just kind of get a ballpark estimate by using online tools to get approximate value per acre. And then you just send out an offer, no more than 25%. There's a little sliding scale that you have, a little model that says if it's worth X amount, you offer between, you know, this percent and this percent of the market value. So then you do that, and you have a signed sale agreement in there, and then they'll pop it in the mail back to you if they accept it. And that's another shock when stuff turns up in your mailbox that they actually signed it.
So are you just sending them a purchase and sale agreement and saying, here's my offer?
Yes. Once they call you back. So first you send, like, your feeler letter, and then whoever's interested, you know, then you send your sale agreement, too.
I got to tell you, I've never done a land deal. I've only done residential houses. The thing that intimidates me, and I'll say it does intimidate me, is land seems like this, you know, almost scary strange entity. I don't know why. I mean, if a house is sitting on it, suddenly I'm comfortable with it. But I feel like you're dealing with, you know, you're dealing with this vacant piece of something that, you know, maybe it can be developed, maybe it can't, maybe it's got oil under it, maybe it's got poison radon stuff. I don't know. I mean, what was it like for you to learn the due diligence process of sizing up a deal? And if I'm not mistaken, you don't do deals right in your own backyard. You do them virtually, kind of long distance, right?
Correct. The method that Jack teaches is typically on the outskirts of a city. So it's not, so I had the same question about, you know, is it polluted and, you know, a super fun site and all that kind of stuff. But it's typically undeveloped land for the most part, you know, where we're targeting. And yes, I haven't purchased right where I live. I've purchased actually 7 properties in this first year, but I haven't been to see any of them. So I do it all on the internet, which is a great thing because I do work full time. So this is like a part time hobby for me that I'd like to grow into a bigger business because my first deal was quite exceptional. So I'm pleased with that. So due diligence for me, I can tell you, because I am conservative by nature, I am a T-crosser and an I-dotter, so to speak. So I even developed my own little checklist of different parts of the county that you call these people for this kind of question and these people for this type of question. And you only do that type of due diligence once you have an accepted offer. So before I ever put money on the line, I check everything out.
Okay. How long approximately does it take for you to do your due diligence on a piece of property when somebody responds to your letter?
Well, there's kind of 2 levels of due diligence. The first level is, like I said, you just click, like Realtor.com, get a ballpark price so that you can make your initial offer. Then once you get an accepted offer because you have an out clause if you want to get out of the deal, that's when I dig in and do my real super deep due diligence. And that, in terms of time, it doesn't really take that long because there's only a few county offices that you have to call. So within a few hours, as long as you have the right people that you need, you can get it done.
Were there any special, you know, Jedi mind tricks or anything like that that you had to learn in order to be able to analyze this type of transaction versus, you know, just regular house deals, which I'm very used to and you were used to up until you started doing this?
No,
is there anything
not at
unique
all.
About the analysis process that you had to learn?
Unique, I would say no. I think just kind of understanding some of the language initially, like, you know, if it's a remote property that it doesn't have water, for instance, or utilities, but water specifically, you kind of need to know that because that's the value you need to understand at the time that you buy it and also at the time that you sell it. So there's different tests that have to be done for if you're going to need to get a well done. And there's, you know, does the property perk, meaning there's a percolation test. So I had to learn some of that stuff. So understanding some of those types of things, I think, initially is different than in homes. But really, Jack teaches things, like I said, from the beginning to the end. So he provides really good information. You don't really need to have any experience.
So let's shift for a second, talk about your first deal. You just mentioned that it was kind of impressive. I don't really know what you're – I've seen some of the stuff that Jack sent me about some of the deals you've done, but I don't know what your first one was. Can you just give us kind of a bird's eye view?
Yep, the very first one actually was a piece of land up in the mountains with a beautiful view of Mount Valdi. I'm in actually Southern California. And this I purchased from 4 brothers and sisters who had inherited it from their deceased parents. They were behind about $1,500 in property taxes, and they just didn't want it anymore. So the beauty of what we do is we basically say, we'll come in and pay you cash and close quickly. And so for them, it's like a burden relief because they don't have to get stuck keeping this property that they see as a burden. So that one, I paid the 4 siblings $1,800. And then I paid the back taxes, so I'm into that for about $3,700, and I have it listed right now for $9,000. So that was my first deal.
Nice.
My second, do you want me to talk about my second deal?
Yeah, let's hear it. Go ahead.
Okay, my second deal is the one that I'm kind of excited about. This one I also bought from 2 ladies. They lived out of state from this property, and it was 6 parcels in the desert here in California. It's got some homes built around it, so it's not too far out. But it's, as I said, six parcels that total 53 acres. And it's two side-by-side and then another two side-by-side and another two side-by-side. So in the initial investigation, I determined these were worth about $200,000. And I'll just state this right now. This is not one of Jack's typical deals because most people don't want to put out this kind of money. But I had a home equity line, and it was too good to pass up. So I paid $27,000 total for these 53 acres. And I just sold a couple of weeks ago my first two of those six for $60,000. So my total investment for all six was $27,000, and I sold it for $60,000. So by the time you do the math and you figure out how much did I pay for those two, I paid $15,900, so less than $16,000, and I sold it for $60,000. So I got a really big check of almost $54,000, which was awesome.
Very good. So you sold those for flat out cash. Now I know, as I read the land manifesto we put out, which was better than I thought it would be, frankly, for a freebie. I learned that the strategy that Jack follows and that he recommends other people follow is a certain percentage of your deals you just quick flip for cash, a certain percentage you hold and sell on owner financing and collect some cash flow and build up your cash flow. As a landlord, as a fellow landlord, I imagine that prospect has to appeal to you. What is your particular take on that one strategy versus the other, and how you are implementing them yourself?
Well, I am totally excited because, as I said, with the houses, it was all about the cash flow. That's why I went outside California. I had properties in Arizona, Oklahoma, and Texas just for cash flow. So it's, you know, for land, that's what I'm really excited about. So I'm offering to sell everything on owner financing. I just want to do Jack's model. The only difference is he's got a staff and I don't, so I'm going to outsource that. And I found a company that I'm going to use to do my loan servicing. So I fully plan to use that strategy.
Nice. So let me ask you this, and I'm not going to pull any punches. I want you to be totally honest, and I'm not asking you to give me a canned testimonial for Jack's products, okay?
Okay.
One of the things that my readers expect of me is to, you know, really kind of deliver the real deal. I know you're a fan. That's obvious, and you've been able to get results from what you've applied. Keep in mind, though, there's going to be people listening to this who are looking at it and they're asking themselves, you know, is this the real deal? Maybe they spent a lot of money on other material. They're really trying to size this up to see if it's, A, a good fit for them personally, and, B, whether it's, you know, the real deal and whether it's quality, whether they're going to waste a lot of money. So keep in mind that's going to be some of the people, at least, who are listening to this. In helping them size it up, tell me what you feel like are the strengths and the weaknesses of the material. You know, in other words, what do you feel like sets it apart and makes it unique in a positive sense? And also, if there's anything that you could change to make it better, what would that be?
Oh, gosh, I have to give those some thought. Let me think about strengths. I guess I'll start with strengths. Jack is a real deal. I've bought a lot of real estate training, spent thousands of dollars in real estate training, including coaching and all that kind of stuff. But Jack is the real deal. He truly is. He cares about, you know, your success. And his material, as I said, it really is all-inclusive. And what's better this time is it's video. The one I bought last year was audio, so you'll actually get to peek over his shoulders, if you will, and look at the computer. And that's something, too, that I can say, honestly, if you're not a computer person, it may be a little bit more difficult for you unless you have access to someone that is.
Meaning someone
who's
comfortable navigating the Internet and basic software and kind of stuff. Okay.
Absolutely. Okay, now you asked about weakness. It's hard to say weakness because, you know, with any product, you know, you can always improve. Last time it wasn't that well written, but grammar, but he'll be the first to say that, you know, English wasn't his first language.
He is a German immigrant.
Yeah. So that's definitely was one thing. But the scope was there.
Anything that you wish had been included in the content that you had to kind of learn yourself along the way, that maybe, you know, just that extra 1% that he could have added that you wish had been there? Is there anything like that that you can
Well, I can tell you what I struggled with most for me, myself, and again, because he's from Arizona, the most of the deals he does are in Arizona, the material is geared towards Arizona. So for me, California is like a different state now with so many rules and regulations. So I went through a couple of attorneys to try and get my sales contract buttoned up for me in California, but then you really couldn't expect him to do for all 50 states every one sale agreement. So, and he uses a contract for deed, and I'm just using a regular, needing a note and deed of trust and all that good stuff. So I spent a little bit of time there. But he gives you the templates, the letters, and all that kind of stuff that you can just tailor by putting your own logo on it. So it's really all there.
Okay. So who would you say this material is ideally suited for? Who is it a best fit for? What kind of person?
I would say somebody that's really comfortable in an office environment or comfortable spending time at the computer and researching and on phone calls and willing to talk to people. What appealed to me about this is, like I said, I went to a lot of other real estate training, and I learned through all that what I didn't want to do. I didn't want to do, you know, rehabs. I didn't want to do foreclosures and short sales and find motivated, you know, sellers in that regard. But to me, sending a letter and having people call you is less intrusive and just so much easier. So at first, you know, I had to learn how to do a mail merge. Now you can outsource that. Next time I would probably do click to mail and send postcards, so I didn't even have to do that. So I think ideal person is somebody that's comfortable at the computer, you know, just doing research to try and get values or have the ability to outsource all of that.
Okay. So let's say you're fairly, you're okay with working on the computer and navigating the internet, and you also have a basic real estate understanding. You know, you've gone through maybe some course somewhere that has kind of taught you the fundamentals of real estate lingo and whatnot. For that type of person, what kind of learning curve do you think, and we can't speak for everyone, but what kind of average learning curve might you expect someone to have if they get into the material, go through it in a concise period of time, and then try to implement it? What kind of window do you think? And I don't mean learning curve until they're wildly successful. I mean, let's say between the time they finish going through the material and start really building some momentum to their first deal. What's your best guess?
Well, because it's hard to answer because it depends at a pace that a person works. I can tell you that it can be a little bit overwhelming if you look at every single thing because there's so much. So for me, I had to chunk it down, and I had to focus on one thing at a time. And, you know, the good thing is Jack provides a quick start guide because he really encourages you to get moving and get started. Don't just let it sit and collect dust. But, because I'm a T-crosser and I-dotter, I wanted to have all the infrastructure in place, and I, you know, set up an LLC, and then I learned how to do, you know, get a website and got the 800 number and did all that good stuff. But he really encourages you to mail letters right away. Then you get momentum. And once you mail letters, they're going to call. So, I mean, it can happen real quickly. Depends on your personality, I think, and your personal comfort of, you know, what do you want to have set up, you know, beforehand. But the phone will ring.
Last question. What advice would you have? What would you want to say to other people who are looking at this, trying to size it up and see if it's a good fit for them?
I would just say, like I tell everybody, I mean, my coworkers that I'm talking to that have, you know, been with me this last year through every step of my journey, is I just tell them, if you are at all real estate minded, seriously consider this. Seriously check it out. Because you don't have to deal with the tenants and the toilets and the termites, as Jack says. It's dirt. You don't have to insure it. You know, you don't have to manage it. You don't do anything. It just sits there. You know, I think that the key to this whole thing really is on the selling side, which is what I'm trying to learn how to do better and set up, you know, squeeze pages and get a buyer's list going and all that kind of stuff, because I've been so focused on all the other steps. Now I'm at the sales end. You know, I just completed my first cycle, if you will, but I think internet marketing is something I need to get stronger at. So that's what I have to say.
All right. Renee, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Thanks for carving out a few minutes out of your afternoon and just for your candor as well. I really appreciate it. I know it's going to be helpful to any of my subscribers who are looking at it and trying to size it up for themselves. Anybody who's interested in this, you can get more information directly from Jack. Just follow the link you see somewhere on this page. And I don't know exactly what the window of opportunity is in terms of availability. I haven't committed that to memory, but I'm sure it will spell it out there. So follow the link if you want more info. Thanks, Renee.
Thank you.